the United States Air Force.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
You're listening to WRGN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A New Jersey imam has died following an early morning shooting.
Newark imam Hassan Sharif shot near his mosque in Newark and taken just blocks away to a local hospital where police say he died. Neighbors say the mosque is well known and considered sacred in the area.
Absolutely, it's surprising. And it's sad.
Authorities are investigating and have been on heightened alert at area religious sites due to the war between Israel and Hamas in the Middle East. But so far, no word on any connection. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Two U.S. officials tell ABC News that Israel was behind a drone strike that killed a senior Hamas leader Tuesday in Beirut. But the U.S. was not alerted before the operation. House Speaker Mike Johnson leading a group of Republicans to the Texas border today and on Capitol Hill. Talks continue in the Senate on a bipartisan deal to fund border security that's included in an aid package for Ukraine and Israel. This is ABC News. As the new year gets underway, the first of two major storms is set to sweep the country, bringing heavy rain and snow. Impacts from the first storm have already begun on the West Coast, and by this weekend, that storm could bring heavy snow to parts of the East Coast. Thousands of doctors in the UK walking off the job in the first day of a six-day strike. Doctors are demanding more pay. That strike set to be on the longest in history of the state-funded National Health Service. Small in stature and big in energy, a new dog breed will be in the Westminster Dog Show competition this year. Here's ABC's Sherry Preston.
Some dog lovers compare the Lancashire Heeler to a scaled-down corgi, about a foot tall, weighing around 17 pounds. Described as gritty, feisty, and intelligent, historically, the often black and tan dogs were used to drive cattle and root out rats. The latest breed recognized by the American Kennel Club is now eligible to compete at thousands of dog shows, including the Biggie Westminster, which will be held here in New York in early May.
I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A 19-year-old West Bend man is charged in the death of a woman involved in a New Year's Eve rollover crash in Fond du Lac County. The man was identified as the driver of the vehicle that struck 19-year-old Taya Grimes and fled the scene of the crash. The man's vehicle dragged Grimes for 3 miles and into Washington County. That incident followed a crash that happened on U.S. Highway 45 in the township of Auburn. Investigators say that crash, which was alcohol-related, led to 4 people being ejected after hitting a ditch and rolling their vehicle. Grimes was the driver of that vehicle. 4 other people were hurt in that rollover crash. The West Bend man was arrested for suspicion of hit-and-run resulting in death. The city of Whitewater is asking the White House for help in addressing immigrant-related challenges.
In a letter to President Joe Biden, Whitewater Police Chief Daniel Meyer said immigrants from Venezuela and Nicaragua have put a strain on his department's resources and have been linked to some serious crimes, including the death of an infant, several sexual assaults, and a kidnapping. Meyer stressed the purpose of the letter is not to denigrate or vilify immigrants, but that police need help. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Concern for multiple overdose deaths in Kenosha County. The medical examiner's office there issued a public warning after they responded to 9 cases in a recent 12-day period. That includes 3 deaths last Saturday. Those deaths happened to those between their late 20s to their mid-50s. They happened around Kenosha and west of I-94 in the county. The office believes the fatalities involve such substances as cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, and counterfeit prescription pills, though they say the exact cause of each case won't be known for months until toxicology results are finalized. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us. Welcome in to AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation here on today's program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We got a great show lined up for you here today. Coming up in segment 2, it is the January episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We're looking forward to diving into that coming up here in just a little bit. In segment 3, we're going to talk with Tanner Emke, lead grain and oilseed economist with CoBank. They released a 2024 year-ahead report towards the end of December. We're going to talk about that report and some of the things that they are looking for at CoBank as we are now into the new year. And we'll have a look at some news headlines coming up here at the end of the program today as well. One thing I want to mention, too, here as we get into the program, we need to welcome a brand new affiliate to the AOA family, KWOA in Worthington, Minnesota, AM 730. We appreciate them carrying Agriculture of America and thank them for joining our family here as a new affiliate, and we do appreciate it, of course. So congrats and thanks to the folks at KWOA for joining us here on AOA. Well, let's take a look at what's happening in the market trade. Joining us now, Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. And Don, happy new year. Thanks for joining us on the show today. And the first trading session of the year was kind of rough in the grain and oil seeds. So far on Wednesday, it's a little bit quieter. How are things looking to you as we are at the middle point of the week?
Yeah, good morning, Jesse, and happy new year to you and all your listeners. I think, first of all, when you look at it, this market is one that is taking some risk premium out of the market. We're seeing some improved weather conditions in the northern part of Brazil, central Brazil. That's the area that was dry, basically, Jesse, since the 1st of September. So I think the real question mark is, going forward, do we revert back to those hotter, drier patterns, or is this a real pattern change that sticks with us?
Well, and I know that we traded South America weather, of course, through much of December and now here into January. And, it's something that I think a lot of producers here in the U.S. at times we can struggle with it because we hear about some of the issues in Brazil and Argentina and how much it impacts our prices here in the U.S., Don. It seems like over the last few years, it's become such a bigger talking point in our markets, hasn't it?
Well, you know, most definitely, Jesse. I think if you look at it, you know, back in the 70s, they were just getting going on raising soybeans. And, you know, here we are now. Brazil raises alone about 1.5 times the volume of soybeans that we do. So, you know, they're just the big elephant in the room. But, you know, when you look at it in the big picture of things, Jesse, you know, the government last year, basically in February, started telling us they were going to fight inflation and they were going to specifically target food inflation, energy inflation. And, you know, the government, I'd say they reached their objective. You know, they beat the energy markets down and they beat the, for the most part, the agricultural food commodities down. So, you know, there's where we're sitting if we can overcome that going forward.
Well, as we look at these markets, I know too, Don, when we roll into a new calendar year, it always feels like that first, second week of the year could be a pretty busy time for farmers selling. And I know launch a basis around the country, that's something that we got to keep our eye on in terms of some of that farmer selling. Are you seeing a lot of movement here early in this new calendar year in terms of especially this corn market moving grain to town at all?
You know, we are, Jesse, and I think probably, you know, one of the things I think we know from a producer standpoint that very few people want to own a crop as you hit the end of August, the middle of August. So between now and then, the selling picks up. And who wants to own 2.1 billion bushels of corn the 1st of September? That's the real issue. So it's kind of musical chairs. And there's grain that continues to move. There's big carries in the market from March is 463. You've got July corn at 487. So, you know, that's an elusive one. That's probably one of the marketing targets that a person can look at is if you don't have to move it right now, do you take advantage of the carries in the market here? But, you know, most definitely it's a market that big selling after the first of the year. But we're also on some big lows here in a market that's oversold. And, you know, you got to be careful at these levels because if this weather changes back in Brazil, which certainly it could, to a warmer, drier pattern, you can add some risk premium to this market pretty fast, Jesse. But I know the producers want to move the grain. These DP contracts where you can move the grain, not have to pay storage, you know, they're a real anchor on the market historically.
We're talking with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities here today on AOA. Don, as we think about the funds and some of that managed money and their positions in this market, there's been some chatter that a lot of funds might be wanting to move their money out of commodities and into this stock market, which is continuing to soar, setting more record highs here in recent days. Is that something you're concerned about, is a big shift of a lot of this managed money out of commodities and livestock and into just the stock market as a whole?
You know, and I know that's always a concern, but I tell you, I think the real thing is money will flow in if it looks like there's a story and if there's a chance to have a better return in the commodities and in the equity markets. And I guess I'm a little bit different look. You know, when you have the equity markets at this high of a price, you know, and the commodities down at this low of a level here on big setbacks, they're kind of the opposite of what's been going on this last year. Commodities have been going down, equities going up in spite of interest rates going up. And so I'm not so sure. I guess from our standpoint, we would like to believe that the commodities have some value here versus the equity markets.
How about over in the protein sector? I know we started the year on Tuesday with the cattle futures soaring higher, hogs under some pressure. Pretty quiet markets across the proteins on Wednesday. What's your thoughts with some of this early week, early year activity in livestock, Don?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, first of all, in the hog market, it's just been a real issue. You know, got pasted again yesterday. You know, we've got the breeding herd continues to get smaller. The efficiency's up. You know, the Sepnova pig crop was up 4% over a year ago despite the lower sow numbers. So I think that's part of the issue. But someplace in 24, the hog market should have a better look at a positive type of a market. You know, when you see this much liquidation going on and some of the worst conditions that we've had in the hog industry since the egg depression in hogs of 1998. But that said, that's the hog market. The cattle market, I think it's all about demand as we go forward. Packers losing about $80 a head right now. We had some storm premium put in the market here to start the week. And also, you know, historically that last week of December is a positive move on the cash cattle 10 out of 10 years, and it did it again this year. So cattle market issue is going to be demand, bigger numbers, and can the feedlot stay current, Jesse?
Well, Don, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us here on AOA today, and we will talk to you again soon. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for being with me.
Don Rose with U.S. Commodities joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next, it is the January episode of the Monthly Grind with Denny Vinacotter from NCGA and Ellen Zimmerman with the U.S. Grains Council. That's next on AOA.
Do you know how much one stalk of wheat is worth? Well, you're about to find out. Wheat is a member of the grass family that produces a dry, one-seeded fruit commonly called a kernel. There are about 1 million kernels of wheat in a bushel, about 50 kernels per stalk, which if we do the math is about 20,000 stalks of wheat per bushel. That means that if a bushel is worth $8, then each stalk is worth about 0.04 cents. So, you would need 2,500 wheat stalks to equal $1. Now, that one bushel of wheat will yield approximately 42 pounds of white flour or 60 pounds of whole wheat flour. A bushel of wheat makes about 42 pounds of pasta or 210 servings of spaghetti. Wheat is the primary grain used in U.S. grain products. Approximately 3/4 of all U.S. grain products are made from wheat flour. And in the United States, 1 acre of harvested land yields an average of around 45 to 50 bushels of wheat. So if you ever wondered how much one stalk of wheat was worth, now you know. These farm facts brought to you by the American Ag Network.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all...
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us here today. Jesse Allen back with you. Right now it is time for the January episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. Joining us for our program this month, Denny Vinacotter, the Market Development Action Team Chairman with NCGA. Denny, thanks for joining us here this month. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And also joining us with the U.S. Grains Council, Ellen Zimmerman is with us. Ellen, great to have you with us on the program this month.
The pleasure is all mine. Happy to be here.
Well, let's start, Ellen, with you. And just for a refresher for some folks, who is the U.S. Grains Council? Let's start there.
Yeah, so the U.S. Grains Council is a membership organization and also a cooperator of USDA. So we have the pleasure of working with folks around the world promoting corn, sorghum, and barley. And we do that with U.S. stakeholders. We have 184 member organizations. And like I said, we promote exports of corn, sorghum, and barley.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the partnership between the U.S. Grains Council and NCGA. And Ellen, maybe you could start and then we'll go to Denny here. Talk about how NCGA and USGC kind of work together to solve various problems.
Yeah, so our mission is developing markets, enabling trade, and improving lives. And NCGA is, of course, a really important partner in making that happen. Like I mentioned, we do exports around the world. We have a global footprint with representation in more than 25 countries, and we have programs in more than 60. And we do a lot of work with trade policy, trade servicing, and demand building. And NCGA comes along right beside us in trade policy efforts domestically, and of course demand building too. And so we kind of march to the same beat, if you will, with those items in trade policy, trade servicing, and demand building, just with different footprints when we're looking domestically and globally. So that's we work alongside with the same stakeholders here in the U.S.
Well, Denny, let's you jump in here a little bit and talk about some of that relationship between NCGA and the U.S. Grains Council from the corn growers' perspective.
Yeah, so like for our perspective is, you know, they can't go to the Hill and lobby like for more funding for MAP and F&D. And that's where we come in as growers in that is, you know, they need these funds and they see a need for these funds, but that's our job is to go to the Hill and lobby to get more funds for NCGA, or if there's a policy or like a trade barrier in another country that's prohibiting trade. And so that's where the growers and that we go start knocking on doors and making phone calls to representatives to try to help this trade along.
Oh, and Denny, I know, too, you guys have done a lot of joint ventures with the U.S. Grains Council, a trade policy school, working to update various studies, et cetera. So I know that's some of the relationship, too, between both the NCGA and USGC, isn't it?
Yeah, so we help partner with U.S. Grains Council in updating the value of export study. And what that does is, like, so when I go into a representative's office, It broke it down into like congressional districts or in the state and what that means to their state in these exports and that. So it helps to bring it back to home.
Well, Ellen, Denny mentioned the MAP and FMD funding, and I want to talk about that a little bit because we talked about that on our November episode. We talked about the importance of that funding, but I know there's been a new acronym being thrown around here as well, RAP, the Regional Agricultural Promotion Program, I believe is what it's officially called. Can you talk about that a little bit for folks who may not be aware, Ellen?
Yeah, absolutely. So MAP and FMD, the Market Access Program, the Foreign Market Development Program, those are the first two acronyms we've been using. Those are allocations through the Farm Bill. That's how, when I said we're cooperators with USDA, those are funds that we get through the Farm Bill program. And so that's how we're able to have kind of deploy those tools that I mentioned earlier and work with our stakeholders to have programs and promote U.S. program products. RAP is a new and exciting program that we have, Regional Agriculture Promotion Program. You're exactly right. It's $3 billion not allocated through the Farm Bill. And, you know, historically, we have not seen new dollars through MAP and FMD, even though our partners with NCGA have been working very hard to advocate for that. And so this means that we're able to really expand our programming. This is a doubling of MAP and FMD dollars, even though it's not the same dollars, it's the same type of work. And we're looking at specific regions, of course, regional agriculture promotion program. And these are specifically looking at Africa, you know, Southeast Asia, Latin America. Those are the areas that we're focusing on with these dollars. And it also allows us to plan a little bit more long term, because we're doing 5-year applications now with these dollars. And so this is giving us an opportunity to really think big and, like I said, plan long term. And so we're really excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, really looking long term and expanding some of those export markets, or helping to open some of these export markets even more for U.S. grains. Danny, I'll come back to you. I want to talk about some current top market priorities here as we start off 2024. You know, we hear about MAP and FMD funding and the RAP program, and we think about all that does for us around the world. But we also, I know, have some trading partners close to home where there's some things that we're watching closely. I think about Mexico as a top place here with the GM decree. I know that's been an issue. Plus, we just saw the rail transit to Mexico suspension that was a issue and could still be. So talk about some of those things. I'd have to think they're some of the top market priorities for NCGA here this year.
Well, they are. When Mexico is like one of the top trading partners, and they are so close to home, it's just like when I haul my grain to town, it's like you like to take it to the closest place, you know, instead of have to go further down the road. So, yeah, them are really important, you know. With the when they closed the, I think about when they closed the border down with trains, you know, when your animals, when you need that supply of corn and you're depending on something being open, that really throws a monkey wrench into your system. And when the trains got held up and that, it really backlogs things.
Well, and it definitely backlogs things. And it's, you know, it's an issue that is something to watch for sure here moving forward. And I know as well with the Mexico GM decree, Danny, and that, two, you know, something on a little more positive note, sustainable aviation fuel and ethanol expansion efforts. Those are other things that I think are on the horizon for us here in a big way in 2024, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Sustainable aviation fuel, I mean, that's a brand new market where we could, corn ethanol can supply a big portion of that. And that would really help grind a surplus that we are starting to acquire here. So it is really a brand new market and hopefully a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, a lot of things to consider there. Ellen, I'll come back to you. As we think about, you know, the Grains Council and the work that you guys do to help keep open our export markets, but also expand our export opportunities. And if anyone listening in today is a member of the U.S. Grains Council, wants to learn more about issues impacting trade or how to get involved, I wonder, where can they go to learn more, Ellen?
Yeah, so I would really encourage them to check out our website, www.grains.org. We have, of course, the value of trade study that Denny mentioned is available on our website. They can see how grain exports are really impacting their state and learn some about our most recent programs by commodity or by region. And if they're not a member, you can also find the membership application. We'd love to have them get involved in that way as well. And they can reach out to me as well, ezimmerman@grains.org. We'd also like to put a plug in for our members. We do have our upcoming International Marketing Conference and annual membership meeting in Guatemala City taking place February 14th through the 16th. Registration is open, and we're really excited about that. We're going to be talking about efforts in Latin America and, of course, our regional agriculture promotion program application and our plans for that there too. So lots going on, lots of exciting things as usual here at the Grains Council.
Well, again, grains.org or ncga.com for more information. And with that, we're out of time on the January episode of the Monthly Grind. Denny Vidicotter, MDAT chairman, along with Ellen Zimmerman from U.S. Grains Council, thank you both for joining us here on the program this month. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Tanner Emke, lead grains and oilseeds economist at CoBank, on the way here on AOA. Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
We're back looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks. Think train.
This message brought to you by Operation.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB. Bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Milk markets were lower. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 6 to 15.57, March down 7 to 16.22, April down 7 to 17.03, May milk down 7 at 17.69. Meanwhile, live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets were mostly mixed on the day. Now, there has been a unified movement in the cattle trade, and it's allowed the traders to focus on potential longer-term market direction as traders try to focus on current positions, but also potential demand shifts expected in the coming weeks. Hog markets, meanwhile, were mostly mixed as well. There was some short covering in the markets, but the trade still concerned about the large hog supply and potential lower consumer demand. February live cattle down 7 cents to 171.85. January feeder cattle down or up 65 cents to 226.07. February hogs down 2 cents to 65.30. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans were relatively flat in a narrow trading range on the day. The trade continues to debate the rain that's falling in Brazil. Will it or won't it help the corn and soybean crops after all of the dry weather from the fall? Wheat markets, meanwhile, were mostly lower on the day. There was strength in the dollar, and that helped to pressure prices. New crop corn up a quarter to 498.5. New crop beans up 3.25 to 1225.25. March wheat down 6.5 to 6.25. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer.
I'm with Tom Heffernan of Tom Heffernan Ford. Tom, it's 2024 and time to get a new vehicle for the new year. Tell us about it.
Well, I don't know where 2023 went, but 2024 is here, and now's the time to get yourself a nice new or used vehicle to go on vacation, to go to grandma's house. So we've got a great selection of new cars. We've got new Broncos in stock. We've got new pickups in stock, and we've got a great selection of used cars, factory program cars. We've got Edges, Explorers in stock. So come and see us, folks. Tom Heffernan Ford in beautiful downtown Lake City, Minnesota.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Joining us now, we want to talk about the latest 2024 Year Ahead report out from CoBank and get an idea of what to expect in the markets, the ag economy, and more as we move into this new year. Joining us now, he is the lead grain and oilseed economist with CoBank, Tanner Emke. Tanner, happy new year to you and yours. Thanks so much for joining us here on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back, Jesse.
Well, let's dive right in here, Tanner. And as we look at the new 2024 year ahead report out from you and the team there at CoBank, what's the big headline that you saw that really jumps out at you here as we looked at this report and move into the new year?
Well, as you know, Jesse, we live in a world of risk that seems to only continue escalating, and that's slowing down the world economy. And it doesn't matter what market you're in, what commodity you're in, this slowing global economy is going to be affecting the outlook. And our anticipation is that that's going to be causing some pressure on commodity prices in general. That being said, we've got the expectation of the Federal Reserve to be cutting rates at some point next year. Now, that's way up in the air. Obviously, there's a lot of things we could talk about in regard just to the Federal Reserve and their response to inflation slowing down. But the outlook here is that we're going to have to go with what the market is anticipating, which is some measure of interest rate cuts. What does that mean for agriculture? What does that mean for commodity prices in general? That's a positive, because as interest rates come down, that's a loosening of the monetary policy, easing of the money supply, and that puts a stronger floor under commodity prices because the value of the dollar is going to come down. And that's the trend that we're seeing right now in the value of the dollar as we head into 2024. So the trend there, I anticipate, is to continue if the Federal Reserve follows through on this plan, in addition to a slowing global economy. So what that means then is, broadly speaking, that puts a stronger floor under commodity prices because we would see stronger export demand for our commodities.
Well, Tanner, throwing that stronger floor under commodity prices, I think that's something that a lot of producers would want to hear, both on the grain and the livestock side. I mean, you think about where commodity prices are at right now as we kicked off the new year, and a lot of farmers making those key decisions as they get ready to plant arguably their most expensive crop ever here as we get into 2024. Some would say maybe they did that last year. Well, this year could be even costlier. So talk about that a little bit, because I think that's going to be a key piece to watch here as we move into the new year.
Yeah, it's always hard to talk about cost of production because costs never seem to go down. But we do have a couple of things here to celebrate, Jesse, and that is our costs of your big inputs like fuel and fertilizer are down compared to last year. Interest expense is expected to come down if the Federal Reserve lowers their rates, excuse me. So there's the positives there. Now, everything else that we follow, you've got labor costs continually going up because we're continually tight on labor in this country, and that only seems to be getting worse. We have rising expenses for other raw materials. As we head into 2024, we're seeing steel, copper, and lumber prices kind of recover. In a response to this expectation that the Federal Reserve would cut interest rates, thereby making construction a little bit more viable. And so therefore, we're already seeing those raw materials being bid up. And that's going to cost the farmer some more on the farm if they're wanting to do any CapEx projects like building a grain bin or a warehouse, anything like that. Machinery prices also remain fairly high. Land prices don't seem to be budging either. So when you look at those key costs, especially land and machinery, there's no sign that those are coming down. And it doesn't look like 2024 would be the year where we'd see those really drop down. It would be perhaps in the years 2025 or 2026, where we see perhaps those expenses like land and cash rents and machinery kind of start to soften. But in the big picture, yes, you're right. It is going to be a very expensive crop. Hopefully we can continue to see a weakening of fertilizer and fuel prices to take some of the edge off.
And those are some great points you make. There are some of the inputs that have come down, and so that's something to watch for closely. Hey, you mentioned, talking about the Fed and interest rates and more, and I think another aspect, another caveat we could wrap into this is some of those conversations that farmers have been having or are having right now with their ag bankers here as we roll into the new year. Talk about that aspect. I don't know how much of that was wrapped up in Cobank's 2024 year ahead report, but I know a lot of tough conversations. Farmers coming off of a few good years of profitability, maybe had some good cash reserves. But, you know, as we move forward with this high interest rate environment that we're seeing and more, I know a lot of tough conversations being had out there amongst farmers and ranchers and their ag bankers. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of this whole equation right now?
For sure, there's going to be a little bit of stress out there with commodity prices having come down and expenses remaining fairly static. I will point out, you noted earlier, Jesse, that we had some really phenomenal incomes on the farm over the last couple of years. And our customers have some interesting anecdotes of what that has meant for them, for the co-ops I'm talking about. A lot of the co-ops of our customers are telling us that farmers have asked to defer income not only into 2024, which is not uncommon, deferring it into the next year, but into 2025. And in some rare instances, even into 2026. Okay. Farmers are carrying over a fair amount of cash, and they defer that income to reduce their tax expense. So I would just preface it saying that, yeah, we're going to see a compression of margins, but we're carrying over a fair amount of cash from the last couple of years, which have been very healthy. So I think that although we are going to hear some stories out there of financial stress on the farm, and that's not to be minimized by any regard, we do have to keep in mind that the farmer is coming in with a fair amount of cash, and a lot of farmers are trying to spread that cash out over the future years to reduce their tax liability.
How about the global economic picture? Is that playing into the equation here as we look ahead to 2024? Did you guys look at that in your Cobank report? I know, you know, I hear a lot of these headlines about China's economy is not in good shape and it's doom and gloom there, and we should be worried about that, and et cetera, et cetera. So give me some thoughts on the global economic outlook. What are you seeing in the year ahead here for 2024?
Well, China is one of our biggest trading partners in agriculture and one of our biggest trading partner for the United States. And so our economies are tied together. Now, we can hate each other as much as we want, but at the end of the day, the United States benefits from a healthy Chinese economy. We need them growing so we can sell them more of our products. China clearly has a lot of headwinds that have been talked about a lot over the past year that are not going away. They have a declining population. They got the demographic issues of a very high youth unemployment rate. They've got a lot of elderly that are retiring and not enough workers to replace them. They've got a very toxic debt situation, especially in regards to their real estate sector. They've got the business community scared with all of the talk coming, all the regulations coming from their government. And then there's the fear about something that could happen between the United States and China, militarily speaking, over Taiwan or China's support of some of our adversaries like Russia. So we have some concerns there that are causing headwinds for their economy that are not to be discounted at all. They're all fairly big. Every individual one of those headwinds that I itemized there, Jesse, are all fairly large concerns. And so there's some big concerns over the Chinese economy. They could, again, slip into a period of deflation, and that would not be good for the Chinese economy, because then they would spiral out of control, potentially, if they don't have the capacity to dig themselves out. So we need a healthy China. It's just that this is the China today is not the China it was several years ago. And so that growth outlook is quite a bit lower than it was in prior years. And so our exports ultimately are going to be affected by that.
Well, appreciate the perspective and great thoughts here, Tanner. Before we wrap it up today, I know we haven't really dove much into the commodity markets or anything. So if you got anything else you want to add about that or just the overall ag economy outlook here for 2024 and the year ahead, anything else you would add for folks or reiterate to folks here listening in today?
I'd say the outlook from the way I look at it, is generally a positive on so many things Our cost of inputs are down. Fuel and fertilizer are down. Interest expense is going to be coming down. And with a cheaper dollar, conceivably putting a stronger floor under prices, I think that not going to be as bad, perhaps, as some are forecasting.
Well, I know folks can read the full 2024 year ahead report from CoBank. It is under the Knowledge Exchange section on the CoBank website. If you just go to cobank.com and you'll see the Knowledge Exchange tab right up at the top in the menu bar. If you click on that, you'll be able to navigate and find the 2024 year ahead report. With that, lead grain and oilseed economist with CoBank, Tanner Emke. Tanner, thanks so much for joining us here today on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Once again, Tanner Emke there with CoBank joining us today on AOA. Again, find that report, cobank.com, under the Knowledge Exchange tab. All right. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at news headlines before we wrap up the program, including USDA set to reconvene the FMMO hearings, the Federal Milk Marketing Order hearings. We're going to talk about that and more on the way next here on AOA.
My daughter is normally a little goofball, but after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Her best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This year, every plate is serving up their most sizzling deal yet. $1 steak every single week. Not only can you dig into 10 ounces of delicious steak for just a dollar, but you can enjoy every plate's other tasty meals for just $1.49 each. Whether you're resolving to save money or just want to enjoy every bite in 2024, America's Best Value Meal Kit has you covered. Get started with $1 steak every week and meals for $1.49 each with code DCS49 at everyplate.com. Everyplate.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking with Charlie Carter, Product Quality and Additives Manager for CHS Refined Fuels Commercial Supply, about how the right fuel will keep equipment running in the winter. Charlie, what happens to diesel fuel in equipment when temperatures drop, and why does that matter?
Standard number two diesel fuel generally does not fare well in cold temperatures. Diesel fuel can form crystals and clog filters and fuel lines, and prolonged freezing temps can cause engines to not operate properly. That can basically lead to that dreaded downtime that we all hate. So it's really important to take precautions to prevent these issues from occurring, especially in cold weather conditions.
Charlie, when should farmers switch their diesel blends?
Yeah, so every situation is going to be slightly different and somewhat temperature dependent. So it's important that you work with a knowledgeable fuel supplier who has a grasp on the diesel characteristics in their geography. With that being said, you should be blending your tanks to a winter blend when temperatures are right around the freezing point or 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It's important to blend early and when the fuel is at least 10 degrees above the cloud point of the fuel, or it won't mix well together.
When you're thinking about cost and performance, what's the best way to determine the best winter fuel blend?
So you will need to decide really what's best for your individual operation and what temperature you expect to be able to operate your equipment in. So if your operation relies on your equipment needing to be up in those harshest climates, you're undoubtedly going to need to invest in a diesel blend that's going to meet those needs. You're going to run the risk of being stranded on the side of the road, unable to perform your critical tasks. So it's best to discuss the specific needs with your fuel supplier, as they're going to be able to deliver the high quality Cenex fuels at the correct blends for optimal performance and peace of mind.
Well, thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted car.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. While farmer sentiment changed very little in December compared to the preceding month, the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer recorded a reading of 114, just 1 point lower than a month earlier. The new barometer released here this week. Both sub-indices of the barometer, the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations, also fell 1 point below their respective November readings. The current conditions index for December was 112, while the future expectations index was 115. All three indices were weaker than in December 2022, with the barometer falling 10% below a year earlier. Farmers still pointed to input costs at year-end as their top concern for the year ahead, but the percentage of farmers choosing the risk of lower crop and or livestock prices rose from just 16% in January to 26% in December. Now, we're going to dive into these numbers a little bit more in depth and have a conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert. He heads up the Ag Economy Barometer. He's the director at the Center for Commercial Agriculture and professor in the Department of Agricultural Economics at Purdue University. And I know we'll have Jim on the next couple of days to go through the numbers and give us the rundown, the latest that they saw in the December barometer. And as we flip the calendar over to 2024, what could lie ahead. So looking forward to that conversation here with Jim Mintert coming up in just a couple of days here on AOA. Well, the Department of Agriculture is going to reconvene the national public hearing to consider proposals seeking to amend the uniform pricing formulas applicable in all 11 federal milk marketing orders. The process will restart January 16th, lasting through the 19th, and will reconvene again on the 29th if needed. Now, the hearing began last August, and it's being held in Carmel, Indiana. Copies of the notice to reconvene, guidelines for participating, and exhibits entered during the hearing are available on the National Federal Milk Marketing Order Pricing Formula Hearing webpage. That can be found by going to ams.usda.gov. Now, proponents contend that the uniform FMMO pricing formula should be amended as significant changes in the dairy industry and milk marketing have occurred since their adoption in the early 2000s. 40 proposals were submitted by stakeholders for consideration. Of those, 21 directly impacted the uniform pricing formulas and are being considered at the hearing. Now, dairy producers may testify in person at any time during the hearing. So again, USDA going to reconvene the FMMO hearings. January 16th, the process will restart and it will last through the 19th and then reconvene again on the 29th of this month if necessary. Well, the Waters of the U.S. Rule rewrite topped the list of agricultural issues for the National Agricultural Law Center in 2023. While WOTUS was the top issue for the year, California's Proposition 12 came in second, with a one-year farm bill extension third. The organization listed EPA's rollout of the Endangered Species Protection Program and the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act fourth. Other top issues include the Arkansas foreign ownership of land restrictions, competition in the livestock sector, and water use from the Colorado River. Now, right to repair gained traction as farmers continue to advocate for the right to access manufacturer-controlled tools and information. And the list rounds out with the growth in the industrial hemp sector and civil litigation over pesticides such as glyphosate exposure. Now, the organization, the National Agricultural Law Center, expects corporate transparency rules requiring disclosure of ownership interests in companies, proposed H-2A changes, and a myriad of issues before the Supreme Court as ones to watch for 2024. Well, the White House's climate agenda has hit some turbulence amid record U.S. oil production and pushback from some in agriculture. You won't hear the president boast about it, the Washington Post reports, but the U.S. is producing more than 13 million barrels of oil a day, a record, even as his climate spending soars. But gas prices have eased, key to Biden's reelection chances, with oil project approvals in Alaska and West Virginia as Biden tries to walk a political tightrope between consumers and environmentalists. Meantime, Republicans like Doug LaMalfa of California's rural 1st District are pushing back on the president's climate agenda.
And planting crops and transporting anything. If you got it, a truck brought it. It's probably a diesel-powered truck. As you see, so many efforts, failed efforts of electrifying vehicles, cars, trucks, etc. Oh, there's a few out there getting around, yes, but not on a dependable basis to keep our supply chain going.
And after COP28 in Dubai,
you have elites over at conferences like this saying we need to cut back on meat. We need to cut out agriculture. They want us to cut 30% of our agriculture. Well, there's already a food shortage in much of the world, and even in some of our urban areas in this country, as we call them, food deserts. You want to depend on it coming from somewhere else? That works really great. Wait till they have a food embargo like the fuel embargoes we had in the 70s.
And while agriculture has embraced some of Biden's climate agenda like conservation spending and carbon credits, LaMalfa and others argue it's gone too far.
So it's about time we put aside this nonsense of getting to some kind of zero output of carbon by 2035 or 2050 or whatever nice round number that they dream up as a goal, like my home state of California.
LaMalfa argues the U.S. and Europe have already cut carbon emissions 10% to 15%, while China, India, and others have done little. Well, speaking of gas prices, they began the new year declining after a late year increase during the holiday season. Gas Buddy reports the nation's average gasoline price reverted, falling 1.6 cents from a week ago to $3.06 per gallon. The national average is down 17.3 cents from a month ago and 12.6 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. The national average diesel price fell 4.5 cents last week and stands at $3.96 per gallon, 71 cents lower than 1 year ago. Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan says, quote, the good news continues for average diesel prices, which slipped below $4 per gallon again and stand at their lowest level since the summer, end quote. And finally, here on the show today, three carbon projects initiated in 2021 and 2022 issued nearly $3 million in carbon asset payments to U.S. dairy farmers who used Agolin ruminant to create verified emissions reductions. A verified emissions reduction is a carbon asset that can be used as an offset or within a value chain. It represents one metric ton of greenhouse gas emissions equivalent that is either avoided or removed from the atmosphere through an intervention that has been independently verified as part of a carbon reduction project. Agolin ruminant is a proprietary blend of essential oils that improves milk production and feed efficiency in beef and dairy cattle. Concord Agriculture Partners has chosen Agolin ruminant to create a new carbon inset project, which guarantees that participating dairy producers will receive an industry-leading 85% of the gross value of the carbon asset. And Alltech, a global leader in agriculture, acquired a majority interest in Agolin SA in May of 2023. Well, we're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk farm succession planning with Mike Downey. We'll also look at markets with Mike Zuzulo. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you.
Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Times of transition, whether from a sad event or a joyful one, can leave us feeling adrift. Social connections are an important part of a healthy life. Being isolated and lonely can be harmful to your health. It can lead to high blood pressure, a greater risk of heart disease, and early onset dementia. So it's important to build and maintain connections to people, not just in your family.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force.